reading from Isaiah. The northern tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali experienced the bloom of defeat by Assyrian military forces, but they are assured that their condition will be reversed when God makes a light-filled appearance. The joy they will experience will resemble celebrations of great harvests, because God will deliver them from everything that diminishes or oppresses them. And the lesson reads, "There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian." The word of the Lord. The psalm is read responsively by whole verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter, hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high upon a rock. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call, and have mercy on me and answer me. Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. The word of the Lord.
Gospel today comes from Matthew in the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet of Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He has walked by the Sea of Galilee, and as he did, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And in boat with them, there was their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated, and I invite the young people of our congregation to come up this morning.
Come on up, young people. So we're going to be joined by a few special guests as well as Miss Connie brings them in. 30 years ago today, there was a wonderful group of children and youth who said, the Super Bowl is exciting for our parents. We should do something as well. So much money is spent on that game and parties. What if we got together and we collected soup? Get it? Super Bowl. And we collected money and we gave it to our local food banks. And so they chose to answer the call and to follow Jesus, and they became an example for so many. 30 years later, this ministry continues across the country, and the LCR, I've been told, has been part of it for many years. And so we're going to hear from some of our young people, and Miss Connie was so great. She put this incredible, what you're going to see here, together. And who goes first?
Cody does.
Of course he does. Joseph, here you go. Let me help with that. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Super Bowl of Caring. It is a movement started by kids like us. On Super Bowl Sunday, kids all over the U.S. collect soup and other canned foods to help the hungry in their own communities.
We call it Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, bam.
We call it Super Bowl Sunday.
The food and money collected at LCR is donated to the food bank right here in Racine.
Dollars work too.
Will you join our team?
Help us tackle hunger.
Very good. So LCR, well, yes, give them a hand. So LCR, we ask you to follow us in setting an example to our community. Please, as Pastor mentioned during the announcements, consider bringing in soup, and we will also have a special offering reception line for you next week. So thank you, Connie, and thank you, young people. We're going to pray together. Okay, you want to pray with me? All right. Let us pray. Repeat after me. God, help us like the people in the story we read today. Follow Jesus. No matter what we have to give up, trusting that you are always with us. Amen. All right, everybody, come here really quick. I'm going to give you some stuff. Come on. You get some prizes. All right, here you go. Yep, come on over here, guys. Yeah, you're going to get some too. While Pastor makes her week, and then you can go. And then you can go. Good, there you go. All right, here you go. These are for the littles, those are for the bigs. Those ladies over there can have that. Good. All right, good. You guys did great. Here you go. All right, have that. There you go. Yep. Anton, it's good to see you. All right, everybody. There you go. Very cute. Go on. You're adorable.
That's right.
Bam.
There you go.
Thanks, everybody. Here, you can have that one. Good enough. Thank you very much. All right. Here we go. Okay.
There were too many options there, John. You had me confused. Little, medium, big. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of this day, the gift of your word, the gift of your spirit. And how it is calling and moving the church, your people, and in and amongst this world each and every day. Help us and move us and lead us. I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. So today we are back. Last week we were in John's gospel, but today we are back into Matthew's gospel. And this passage begins suddenly with the death of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, at the hand of Herod. This pivotal, significant event also seems to propel Jesus into his public ministry. Kind of turns the tide into what is happening. And as Jesus begins his ministry, he is settling into this area of Capernaum by the sea, which is a pretty hip and shaking area at that point in time. And the writer of this gospel tells us a lot about Jesus and what this ministry will look like when he makes a point to remind the audience that the land that Jesus is settling into at one point belonged to the Israel tribes. The tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. Can you say that quick, right? You can go on Bible Gateway and say them. It'll say it out loud for you. All the Bible in 90 Day folks are enjoying being able to listen to it so that they don't have to pronounce all the hard names. But it reminds us of this incredible reminder that there were a number of tribes out there. There were challenges in the midst of Jesus' day and time of what the life and ministry was like in order to follow Jesus. That faith in the midst and face of oppression was real. Maybe sounds familiar in today's language too. And that now making this connection and the reality of Scripture today, making this connection back to the Israelite tribes, connects Matthew's audience to understand and remind them about what land and heritage and faith and struggle was all about. About being part of a greater, larger story, folks, just like we are, and the reminder of oppression and the faithfulness of God. That Zebulun and Naphtali were these first tribes way back when in the north to be deported by the Assyrian army, to be sent away from their territory, their homes, and to disappear. That they and their culture were lost to the world. They were wiped off the map, folks. This was the kind of darkness that came when we hear about that in the text. That kind of oppression that happened. Being wiped off the map. And maybe even too in our world today, some of that wiping off the map of tribes might be occurring as well in modern day. Think about it, folks, what's happening in our world today. War. Immigration. Just to name a few. This was different from what happened to the tribes from the north to the south. Those in the north were wiped off the map in darkness, but those who were in the south weren't wiped off the map. Those tribes, they may have been deported into a different land of Babylon, but they were able to live in their communities. They were allowed to maintain the aspects of their culture. They were allowed to assimilate and not get lost. They were allowed to live. So the writer of the gospel was reminding us of what does it mean when we live in our world today, when we live in these kingdoms, when we live. Jesus' ministry had something to do with pointing out and reminding that faith in the face of oppression is something that we need to step forward in. That those who have been lost and oppressed and defeated by the imperial leaders or the worldly people of the day, they need to be lifted up. That's the reminder of the people of Zebulun and Naphtali. There were many people who were facing and who sat in darkness and the shadow of death. And that they needed to be reminded that light has dawned. And Jesus was part of that light. Jesus was the light of the world. And of course, the way Jesus did that in the turn of his ministry was in fact his public ministry in the midst of knowing that John, who proclaimed who he was, now has died. And now the tide had turned. This is getting serious, folks, is what Jesus said. And so he calls his first disciples, those who would follow him and learn what he was teaching. Jesus invites Peter and Andrew, then James and John to follow him. Another way, a different way than what the world has to say. Follow me and I will make you what, folks? Fish for people. These men made their living by fishing. And now Jesus' invitation is to fish in a whole different way. He wants them and us in this text to hear it today for us to fish for people. People who are like those in Nebulon and Zephtali that maybe had been wiped off the map or had been incorporated into a whole different world that they didn't even understand. Those who were lost and those who were the least. And our challenge with the way of things are and the way things are happening in the world that are ways they don't even understand. And Jesus' invitation is for them and for us to maybe think about what he said to those disciples. Let go. Drop your nets. Leave your boats. Leave the ways of what you are doing today, the ways of the empire, the world, and begin the ways of God by fishing for people. Those ways are different, folks. It's value over profit. It's creation and people over profit. It's not institution, but it's individuals. It's not power or ego, but it's what is right and just in our communities. It's not domination, but it's working towards peace, is what Jesus is saying. It's not privilege, but it's listening to those voices in the wilderness. It's listening for those voices who are in need or in loss or are struggling. How are we thinking about following me? Following Jesus on a daily basis and fishing for people, looking in a different way in our world. Because it's not always easy. Because we want to do what is comfortable. Those fishermen were awfully comfortable getting into their boat every day and throwing their net out. Certainly, folks, they knew how to do it like the back of their hand, right? And when Jesus said, drop your nets, get out of your boats, and follow me, it's not always easy. When we see things that are comfortable and we're asked to let go and leave them behind, it certainly isn't the easiest thing to do. That's where this gospel story is a turning point. An incredible point where Jesus invites all of us to embrace a different way. A different kind of calling, to let go, and what do we say? What? Let God. And that's not always easy. The disciples let go and let God, and how did they do it? What's that key word in the scripture that we often miss? Immediately, right, folks? Let go of our nets, leave those things that profit them for the sake of others. But remember, the way of God does not use people. It loves people. It gathers people. It serves people. It remembers those who are lost, forgotten, and oppressed, folks. And that's what we have chosen here at Lutheran Church of the Resurrection. To lift up what it means to share the resurrection by loving Jesus. About changing lives and reaching out to serve people. That's what God has called us to here in this community. Now, all these four disciples that Jesus called, they're regular guys, regular fishermen. They're not nobility in the day and age. And neither are we, folks. We're regular people in everyday lives, doing our regular thing in the world. And that's who Jesus calls. Just like the disciples, it's you and me. And Jesus walked into their lives and is in our lives as well, calling us to live this radical way each and every day. For those lost, the forgotten, and those who are broken. And maybe slightly broken, right, folks? And some days we do have great days. But even in those good days, we're still called to let go and to let God work through us immediately. And that's the hard part, folks, right? How do we let go of those things that get in the way to allow us to immediately hear what God is calling to us to do each and every day in our lives, in this church to share the resurrection, and in the days to come? Because immediately is not always the easiest thing to do. I know it. Immediately is hard. And today I want you to think about, as the band sings the song after the sermon today, intern John and I are going to pass these out. They're little ropes. We've got them, intern John and I have them around our wrists right now. But I want you to put one on and leave it on for a while. And I want you to be reminded of this net. And about every single day, how do we think about immediately in our lives, how God is calling us to fish for people right here and right now, because we do get distracted each and every day, whether it's in our work, our school, our lives, or immediately as we're driving on Highway 94 trying to get here through that wonderful construction, right, folks? Because we still can fish for people while we're on the interstate. We can fish for people wherever we are. I know you can. And God has called us to do that. And it's amazing what we can do in the midst of reaching out and immediately dropping what's in front of us to live God's call each and every day. So how is Jesus calling you immediately to fish for people today? Amen.